In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a new book out with an intriguing title. The title of this book is The Power of Imperfection. The Power of Imperfection. I have not read it. I think it's just brand new out. But apparently, it addresses feelings of failure, of being less than perfect. The author, who is a Christian woman, apparently is trying to help people work with the complexity of their lives and the imperfections of their lives. And in doing that, finding great resources and riches in the imperfection. In working on this sermon, and yesterday, it was very obvious an imperfection was really standing out there of mine. It was in my mat Pilates class. I don't know if you know what mat Pilates is, but it's a stretching exercise in which you can contort your body, at least some people can, into really interesting shapes. I have tight hamstrings, so it's a really, quote, stretch for me. But I was very aware of that they're never going to ask me to make a video of Matt Pilates. That's just not going to happen. I kind of have to accept what I am and do the best I can. In fact, I told the instructor, and in fact, I told that instructor, my yoga one, too, you're not going to get rid of me. I'm going to hang in there and do the best I can, even though I'm fumbling around. I want to do this, so you're stuck with me. How do you deal with the imperfections you see in your life? Do you see them as a negative thing, a thing of embarrassment? Or do you see something redemptive in them? Something that is positive even in the imperfection. You know, I suppose we could put that question to all kinds of situations. For instance, how do I deal with the imperfections in other people? How do I deal with imperfections in my family? In my church family? In my community? In the world, do we tend to see ordinary as a bad thing? Or do we see polished and perfect as the ideal, so much so that we pretend it's that way in demonstrating to others when down and beneath it is not really that? This is what I want to explore with you this morning. And in order to do that, I'm putting the spotlight on five very ordinary women who, in their everyday activities, did something that in some way changed the circumstances and enabled the covenant of God. The covenant that God had established with our forebears to move forward. It is the story we just read from Exodus. I grew up with that story. I knew that story as a young boy, particularly the baby in the basket in the Nile River. But as I had to dig into it, I found things I had never noticed before. And one of them was the role of these five important women. You know, we have looked over the past few weeks at stories of our ancestors, and we would have to confess, would we not, they are a colorful bunch. Today, we find the people of the covenant in Egypt, where they relocated to avoid starvation from a famine that was in their land and in Egypt, but Egypt had stored up enough food for everyone. The people of the covenant prospered in Egypt. The families grew and grew and grew, and they were having tons of children. Though they weren't in the land yet that God had promised them, the part of the promise that was coming true was this, that their ancestors would be as numerous as the stars of the sky, as numerous as the grains of sand in the desert. Well, this population explosion troubled the new Pharaoh in Egypt. There were so many Hebrews now in Egypt, he was afraid they might get the idea of siding with one of Egypt's enemies and have him overthrown. And so he made a decree of forced labor for them. And their lives became bitter, and their work was backbreaking and non-ending. But they were still growing in number. The nervous Pharaoh came up with an even more harsh decree. All male Hebrew babies were to be thrown into the Nile River to be drowned. He told the midwives, and here we come to two of the five important women, Shipra and Puah. Up to this point, when I've read the story, I just went right over the names and went right on. But I have had to stop and honor these two women. Pharaoh said to them, "When you deliver a baby, kill it, a baby boy." But they refused, for they feared the God of the Hebrews. They feared the God of the Hebrews would disapprove. Shipra and Puah, two simple midwives, going about the job they did day in and day out, but defying the power of Pharaoh. These two women really need to be highlighted. The next one is a Hebrew mother and unnamed. She delivers a baby boy and hides him. She loves this child and she's not going to kill it. Again, defying Pharaoh. In a couple of months, the child gets to the size where she can't hide him in her house anymore. So she weaves a basket, sealing it with bitumen and pitch. And she puts it in the Nile River among the reeds with her baby in it. Interestingly enough, that's the river where baby boys are being thrown to drown. The Hebrew baby boys. Okay, so we've gotten three of the women. The fourth woman in the story is Pharaoh's daughter, his daughter. She comes down to the river with her attendants to bathe, and she hears the baby crying. So she asks her attendants to go and bring it to her. And she holds it, and she has pity on it. And she recognizes this is a Hebrew baby boy. She wants him as her son. The baby's older sister, and this is the fifth woman in the story, the fifth woman has been watching over him in the river as he floated in that little basket. And she says to the Pharaoh's daughter, I know a woman who can nurse that baby for you if you would like. This, of course, would be the baby's mother. And the Pharaoh's daughter thinks that's a swell idea. In fact, she says, I will pay the expenses for this to happen. All five women have undercut the Pharaoh. In due time, the boy grows up, and he moves into the royal palace with his new mom. And she gives him an Egyptian name, Moses. The ultimate act of defiance. These are strong women. Look at this. You see this story with immense power of the ruler of Egypt inflicting evil upon the people of the covenant and maybe undoing it. But these women, separately, going about what they do, undercut all of that. And in Moses, the covenant would continue. Look at it. Look at that story for us today. When times are dark, when times are hopeless, as they were in that day, there didn't seem to be any wiggle room. Everyone felt they were trapped, but those five women found wiggle room. And in so doing, undermined the decrees of the Pharaoh. Ordinary women, ordinary people, and yet, when we pause and look back at that wonderful story, we see God working in them. In Jesus, that covenant has come to its fulfillment. In Jesus, we see God's intentions for all of life, which is why God established the covenant. In Jesus, in his life, in his words, in his ministry, we see all of this, and it inspires us and guides us in our lives. Because our baptismal covenant, which is based on that ancient covenant, in it, we are sealed with Christ forever. And therefore, the course of our life as followers of Jesus is set. So again, what do? We're ordinary people. About the problems of the world that surround us. What do we do as covenanted people in the church, in the community, in the world, in our families? Do we feel too ordinary to make a difference? Do we feel like just throwing up our hands and say, I can't handle it? For the past 3 weeks, in the story of the development of the covenant, we have seen how fragile it has become at times. And even in Jesus' ministry, when you read those stories, you see the threats against Jesus, how precarious the ongoing covenant seems to be. And that is especially true, supremely true, on Good Friday. It looked like it was kaput. The resurrection of Jesus is the evidence that the covenant continues. And we, as the people of God, are sent out into the world to continue that ministry of Jesus, to love God, to love neighbor as oneself, the fulfillment of the covenant. You and I have important parts to play in this story. We may feel very ordinary, and that's just fine. It was the ordinariness of Shipra and Puah, of the baby's mother and sister, of the daughter of Pharaoh. It is through them that new possibilities, new hope would emerge for the people of the covenant. Look all around you at the various forms of ordinariness. It's quite possible that in looking at what happens today, this afternoon, tomorrow, the week ahead, month, year, whatever, if we are attentive, we will get glimpses of God at work. Be attentive. If we are listening, we will hear whispers of God at work. You may catch a glimpse of God at work in someone else around you. And maybe even in your own life, God at work. Amen.